So the question today is, do you have room in your heart for Jesus? We should have and make much room, shouldn't we? We want to talk to you about the celebration of this month, because I want to share with you a distance in time and what people were like back then. Could we be like that today? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of year when people are more open than normal to talk about Jesus. And it's also a time where we can give a book and have it accepted, because it could be one of our books about Jesus. So we're just thankful today, Lord, that Mary Ann and I and Beth can be here. And we're just asking in a special way that we can be a blessing with each one here in what we're going to say about the stories in the Bible. So bless us and help us, Lord, and help this sermon to be uplifted to you and be a blessing to you also, Lord, because of the fact in 3:16 you gave us a child, and we thank you for him and all he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If I asked you what would be important about the date 1996, what would you say? It is the 2000th birthday anniversary of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Was he born in 4 BC? Is anyone here? Was Jesus born in 4 BC? We believe the B.C. is before Christ and the A.D. is
Annus Domini,
which is the year of the Lord. But our dating system is not on track. Jesus was born in 4 B.C. How do we prove this? Does anyone know?
No.
If you go by the history of the Bible, we know who was being king and what year it was according to our dating system. And the Bible tells you who was king and how long when Jesus was baptized. And we find out he was baptized in 27 AD, and the Bible tells us that he was 30. So if you subtract, and there is no zero, so you can't use a zero, you will come up with the fact Jesus was born in 4 BC. Why am I sharing this with you? Because our sermon today is thanking God for Jesus' birth. But you're going to see when we end the sermon today, I want you to realize how many people were ready for Jesus first Advent. The shepherds, the three men from the east, or the wise men of the east. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Yes. Now think about this. How many people are ready for the second Advent? We can say we are, but brothers and sisters, are we? How long ago was Jesus born? Over 2,000 years ago. How long will it be till he comes? A year? Less? Are you with me? We're celebrating a 2,000-year-old birth. And are we ready for second coming? I just want you to think about this. I'm not putting Christmas down. I'm bringing it up. And you're going to hear it in the sermon. And Mary Ann's tapping me not to tell you the whole sermon. But I just want you to realize we're celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago. But are we ready to celebrate the one that's just around the corner? Could we be like the Israel of old and not really ready for Jesus to come?
We have some Bible verses that we would like to share with you today. And we have a question. We want to know, why did Jesus become a man? But we need to turn in the Bible for that answer. In John chapter 1, verse 14, if you want to follow along. John 1, 14 reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So that's an interesting text, isn't it? We want to continue. We talked a lot about John 3:16 already. But John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have a quote to read to you, and it's from the book of the Desire of Ages, chapter 4, and it's entitled, "Unto You a Savior." All right. So it begins like this. The story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. In it is hidden the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, Romans 11:33. We marvel at the Savior's sacrifice in exchanging the throne of heaven for the manger, and the companionship of adoring angels for the beasts of the stall. Human pride and self-sufficiency stand rebuked in his presence, and yet this was but the beginning of his wonderful condescension. It would have been an almost infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. Like every child of Adam, he accepted the results of the working of the great law of heredity. What these results were is shown in the history of his earthly ancestors. He came with such a heredity to share our sorrows and temptations and to give us the example of a sinless life. Satan in heaven had hated Christ for his position in the courts of God. He hated him the more when he himself was dethroned. Satan hated him who pledged himself to redeem a race of sinners, and yet into the world where Satan claimed dominion, God permitted his Son to come, a helpless babe, subject to the weakness of humanity. He permitted him to meet life's peril in common with every human soul, to fight the battle as every child of humanity must fight it, at the risk of failure and eternal loss. The heart of a human father yearns over his child. He looks into the face of this little child and trembles at the thought of life's peril. He longs to shield his dear one from Satan's power, to hold him back from temptation and conflict. But to meet a bitterer conflict and a more fearful risk, God gave his only begotten Son, that the path of life might be made sure for our little ones. Herein is love. Wonder, O heavens, and be astonished, O earth.
It's a powerful reading, isn't it? Does God know the beginning from the end? When he had Jesus come to this earth and be born of a virgin, did he know Jesus would be on the cross? Did he still do it? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're asking today, is what would you give up for the children of today? Now, we had someone ask that we pray for our children and grandchildren. Do they need prayer today? for you that are my age or older, did we have it a little better than today? We've got cell phones. Did we have cell phones when I was little? No. But was I better off? How much time do we spend on a phone that should be spent in the Bible? And how much time do we actually spend with our children teaching them the Bible today? Brothers and sisters, we need to know where we're at and the fact that God did all this for us. He didn't do it for Jesus. Now let me ask, is Jesus still human? Mm-hmm. Will he be human for eternity? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Did Jesus give up more than 30 years on this life? Yes. He gave up eternity to be a human. When he appeared to Thomas, he says, "Come and touch me. I am flesh and bones, just like you." We have a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary that, brothers and sisters, is human. He didn't go back to being God, omnipresent, knowing everything. He's human, brothers and sisters. Jesus gave up more than we could possibly think. So I just hope you'll think about that, especially every Christmas season, but all the year long, on you wanting to be like Jesus.
We have some Bible texts. We turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then Romans 8:14. And it reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
So for you and I to be sons and daughters of God, what do we need to do? We need to be following the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, to show you how bad life is, of all times, getting closer to Jesus' second coming, we now have a doctrine going through the church that there is no three persons in the Godhead, and some have extended it to there is no Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful about what we're hearing and seeing in our own church today. And of all times, we're near Christmas, and the Bible itself says that we need to be led by the Spirit, and there's people within our church saying there is no Spirit.
So we want to turn to the book of John 16, verse 13. John 16:13. And it reads, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And John 14:16, just go back a chapter or two. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
It's powerful what we have in the Bible, brothers and sisters. And I was going to say it and forgot. Mary Ann just read you two texts out of Romans. Do you know who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. And what's odd about that? He's writing such very good spiritual thoughts, and yet he hated Christians in his first ministry, until Jesus converted him. Would we have the book of Romans? Would we have Timothy, Ephesians, Colossians? Would we have any of these books except for the conversion of Saul turned Paul? And the answer is no. We have a beautiful gift in this book, don't we? And with the Holy Spirit in mind, it just bothers me that people are saying there may not be a Holy Spirit. Do you know what a pastor is? Does anybody know? He's a person that was given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Is pastoring one of the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. Evangelists, teachers. Brothers and sisters, what is happening today that Satan is getting away with taking the Holy Spirit out of some of our people's lives? Yes, this is Christmas, and I wanted a Christmas sermon, but it's scaring me to see what's happening today, and it's scaring me to see people more involved in the world than their Bible. So I'm just sharing this with you because it's a burden on my heart. I want to give you a gift. It's your Bible. Spend more time with it.
In the book of Luke 9:23, it reads, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And to turn to Acts, the book of Acts, 16:31. And that one reads, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
Was Jesus the best gift God ever gave us?
Yes.
What's the second best gift?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I must go, but my Father will send you another comforter. Why is he the second best gift? Because he will convict you of sin, which if you aren't convicted of, you won't get rid of and you won't make heaven. And he will lead you into all truth.
Okay. Jesus was a miracle baby. We have two Bible texts we want to share with you, showing you that in the Old Testament he was prophesied, and in the New Testament it was fulfilled. So in the Old Testament, it's found in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. And it reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So that's the prophecy. So then we turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 23. 1:23 reads, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us.
Now, I don't want to get bad here, brothers and sisters. If a lady gets married and she's a virgin, and she conceives on her honeymoon. Are you with me? Yes. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yes. But what if she gives birth to the baby and she's still a virgin? Somebody tell me that is impossible. The Bible doesn't say she conceived as a virgin. It says she conceived and had or bare a son as a virgin. What does that mean? She had no relationship with a man, even when she gave birth to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, today, in normal life, can a virgin give birth? Do you need to give up your virginity to have a child?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the Bible doesn't say she only conceived, but she also bare this child. as a virgin. Is that not a miracle? Yes. And too many people miss it. Now, if you read The Desire of Ages and the other books that we have today, it said that when Joseph married her, he could have no relationship with her until after the baby was born. We had a virgin give birth to a baby as a virgin. This miracle goes deeper than just how she got pregnant, because it also tells us a virgin had a baby, and it's impossible except through God.
Jesus was born to mankind by Mary, but was not born by a man. He was born on time so that he could die on time. He was born in 4 BC so that Jesus could die in 31 AD. This was all prophesied in the book of Daniel. And so we're going to go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and we're going to read a few verses about this.
How close are we to 2031? Is this 2025 going on 2026?
Yes.
We're 5 years away from the 20th anniversary of Jesus, not 20th, 2000th anniversary of Jesus dying on the cross. Have you ever thought about this, brothers and sisters? He died and gave the gospel to us to fulfill it, finish it, and then he can come back. And we have waited 2,000 years. It is amazing what we are doing today by not doing what we should be doing. Lorenzo just made an appeal to you. Let's finish the work and go home. Amen? Amen. Your neighborhood, your friends, your relatives, send them books, send them letters. Open your heart to them and let's fulfill what the Bible says. When this gospel goes to the earth, then the end will come.
So we're going to read in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And it begins, "The 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." And verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate."
Did the Israelites have Daniel's prophecy? Yes. Did they know that the decree was given in Ezra that in 457 there would be a decree to rebuild the city and the walls? Yes. Couldn't they figure out that in 27 AD Jesus would come? Now I say that. Why do I say that? This says the Messiah would come in what? 62.
in 69 weeks, 1 week short of the 70, that the Messiah would come. But Jesus was born in 4 BC. Was he born as the Messiah? Was he born as the Messiah? What does the word Messiah mean?
Anointed one.
Anointed one. When was Jesus anointed? At his baptism. Is that true?
Yes.
We need to know these things, brothers and sisters, because this proves the fact of who Jesus was, that he was baptized on time. He ended the 69 weeks. The last week is there. How many days in a week? Seven. Is a day a year? Yes. So 3.5 years after his baptism, he would end the sacrificial system by dying as the Lamb of God. Is this true? You and I need to know this so that we are positive on what we believe, who Jesus was, when he was born, when he was baptized, when he died, when he was resurrected, and going into the book of Hebrews, do we need to know that he's our high priest in a heavenly sanctuary? He's in the most holy. And in 1844, the judgment started. The books were open. When Jesus closes the books, you and I, if we do not have our sins gone, will not have a chance to be saved. We need his ministry in the most holy place. Yes, this is Christmas, but brothers and sisters, where is Jesus today? He's in heaven, in the most holy. He's about to close the books. He's about to give the seven last plagues to the angels to be poured out. Are we ready for his second coming? Today we're celebrating, this month we're celebrating his first coming. But are we as bad as Israel of then, that spiritual Israel today is not ready for his second coming?
We must understand all the prophecies in order to see who Jesus is, when he was born, baptized, anointed, and died, in order to understand where he is now and how soon he is coming back to take us home with him. Our last Bible verse is in John 14, 1, 2, and 3. And it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Brothers and sisters, we can celebrate Jesus' first advent, but we need to ask you, are you ready for his second advent? We cannot have the second advent without the first, but the first was given to us so that Jesus could come and prepare us for the second advent. We can celebrate his first coming, but are you ready for his second coming? Because Jesus is coming again.
And he's coming very soon. Does anybody here know where the Jews believed the promised land was? Does anybody know? Was it Israel on earth? Was that the promised land? Brothers and sisters, in the book of Hebrews, I believe it was written by Paul. I believe. Paul writes in Hebrews that Abraham, is he the father of Israel? Mm-hmm. Yes. And the Bible says, if ye be Christ's, you are Abraham's seed. And Paul wrote in Hebrews, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. What city was Abraham looking for? New Jerusalem. Were the Israelites looking for a new heaven and a new earth? No. Were they ready for the Messiah? No. Are you looking for the new Jerusalem? I'm hearing Christians today say, I'm going on a tour over to Israel, and I can't wait to be baptized in the Jordan. Brothers and sisters, is that earthly? Should we be heavenly? We're told in the Bible, we're told by Ellen White, we're told in our songs today that we need to be heavenly minded. Amen? Mm-hmm. So I'm just sharing with you, using this time of season and the first advent of Christ, rather than say birth, I'm going to say advent, his first coming, that we, as Christ's people today, as the seed of Abraham, should still be looking for the promised land. Amen? Mm-hmm. Is the promised land the new earth? Is the city we should want to live in the new Jerusalem? Mm-hmm. Yes. We need to be more spiritual, brothers and sisters. We can celebrate Christmas today. And what are we going to celebrate with? Gifts. But are our thoughts turned seriously to Jesus? Because instead of the first advent, the second advent should be first and foremost on our minds. Now, what Bible text would I use? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where is it? In heaven. And his righteousness. So I'm just sharing with you, brothers and sisters, and this may be a terrible sermon for you, but we are stuck on celebrating Christmas, the first advent. But we need to be getting ready to celebrate the second. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Sooner than many people think. So God bless you to really get your mindset on being ready for Jesus coming the second time. God bless.
Closing hymn is number 213, Jesus is Coming Again.